to share a few things about prophecy and to really encourage us. Okay, cultivating a supernatural lifestyle. Bill Johnson said, Rion WhatsApped this today, so I put it in there. Rion's edition. It is abnormal for a Christian not to have an appetite for the impossible. It is abnormal for a Christian not to have an appetite for the impossible. We are made to hunger for the supernatural. If we don't, something is wrong. And so God has designed us. He has designed us for the supernatural kingdom of God. The kingdom, the very nature of the kingdom of God, that it is supernatural. And you might ask, how do we get there? How do we move into that place where we know the supernatural power of God? You need to hunger. You need to hunger. You need to thirst. You need to passionately crave it. You need to passionately crave, God, I want to know you. I want to know your fullness. And I'll share some of that as well on Sunday. But the Lord has taken us on a journey where I came to a point that I had to realize, God, I don't know you, not the biblical you. And so, Lord, the Lord has taken us on a journey, and I believe it's going to increase. It's going to increase in all of our lives. So you need to hunger and thirst for it. When you live in and from the supernatural kingdom of God, then you will live a supernatural lifestyle. In other words, if you are planted, if you are positioned in the kingdom, you will live a supernatural lifestyle. And there will be evidence of it. You will hear his voice. You will see people healed. You will see people delivered. You'll see incredible things. Now, prophecy. You see, in the scriptures, God says, he said all these promises, all the things that he has given to us. And I've shared this before. I want to just share this again. But there's like this treasure room, incredible treasure room, all the treasures of heaven. It's there. It's available. God's saying, come and get it. But you walk into the room and it's pitch dark. You don't have a cooking clue where's anything. You don't know where what is. And so at the door, there's a flashlight, a torch. It's called prophecy. Take the torch and it starts revealing what God has destined you to, what he has planned for your life, what he has destined you to walk in. I've been absolutely amazed just over the last 2 years how the power of prophecy, it is incredible. That's why in 1 Corinthians 14 it says, above all things, pursue love, yes, but above all things, all the other gifts, pursue the gift of prophecy. Desire it, crave it passionately. Because it's your flashlight. Without it, you are completely blind. You don't have a cooking clue who you are, or where you're going. We must have the gift of prophecy. And we're trusting the Lord for an increase of that, a release of it in our midst. In our midst. And so the gifts of the Spirit, I just want to call them kingdom expansion gifts. Though every time you operate in one of the gifts, the kingdom are expanded. The kingdom is expanded. And so the different types of gifts, it's power gifts. It's the weapons of our warfare to see the kingdom come. It's your sword. It's your shield. It's your, I saw this picture end of December, the Lord, or somewhere there. I just sensed God showed me like a weapon, like a gun, and then it just transforms into different types of weapons. And I felt God saying, that's the Holy Spirit. Whatever you need, he transforms into whatever weapon you need for whatever situation. He is your everything. He gives you whatever you need for whatever situation. If you need a word of knowledge, it's available. Word of prophecy, it's available. Healing, it's available. Miracle, it's available. Wisdom, it's available. It's all available. But we need to cultivate relationship with the Holy Spirit. And so it's the tools. Now the key is Luke 17, 20 to 21. I'll focus more on this on Sunday. But Jesus was asked, when the kingdom of God would come? He answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. So Jesus is saying, don't go and look it for some, go and seek it somewhere outside with your physical senses. Don't try and see it with your physical eyes. Don't try and hear it with your physical ears. But see it in the inside. The kingdom is within you. The kingdom is within you. There's spiritual senses that God wants to awaken so that we can become aware of the kingdom. But the Lord wants to first establish the kingdom within us before he establishes it through us. And prophecy is the key. Prophecy prepares the way of the Lord. John the Baptist was a prophet, and he said he was a voice in the wilderness crying out, preparing the way of the Lord. He prepared a whole nation. A whole nation. That's the power of prophecy. Prepared the hearts of the people for the king to come. And that's the power of prophecy. When you receive a prophecy, I've experienced a few times, people that don't know me in a group praying over me, even a child. And it has rocked my world. It's like you're not even aware that there are people there. This is God speaking now. And it shakes you on the inside. It prepares your inside. It says, oh my God, is that what you've destined me to? My God, is this what you want to do? My God, is this who you are? Prophecy prepares our hearts. We need to desire it, seek it with everything within us. And when you get a word, you write it down, you record it, you hold on to it with everything within you. You start declaring it. Sonic and I, we spoke about this just over the last 2 years, how many words. Prophecies already come to pass. It's incredible. And so the key is for us to align. If we line up our hearts and minds with the kingdom of heaven, if we become more aware of heaven than we are of earth, the kingdom is going to come. And prophecy is the key. The prophecy is eyes to see, ears to hear. Jesus said he only did what he saw the Father do. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father is doing. So Jesus was so aware of heaven and what the Father was doing. Jesus had eyes to see and ears to hear. And he wants each of us to have the same. We become so aware of heaven that we just like, not afraid anymore. You lose your fear when you become aware of heaven. That's what God wants to do. Jesus could see, he could hear, and he calls each of us. I remember a few years ago, before we came to East London, I went jogging, it was the evening. And before I went, I just said, God, it's been a quiet season. Lord, I so want to hear your voice. I so want you to use me. God, speak to me. And so now I'm off jogging, and it's dark. It's just, you just see the lampposts, and I'm jogging in the streets. And at some stage, quite a big road. I saw a vehicle ahead of me parked on the side of the road. I could see sort of there's someone in it, but I couldn't see male, female, or whatever. And I just, as I was running, I felt the Lord tell me, go to that car and go tell the lady I love her. Thinking, oh, God, is this God? Is this not God? Is this going to be uncomfortable? Is it a lady? I say, lady, oh, great. So I jog past, and I'm like, on the spot. Okay. I asked, Lord, use me. Let's go. So I went back, and the car was parked in the driver's seat on this side. And so I came to the window, and I wanted to, like, knock. And when I went to knock, I saw a lady with her head bowed, and I saw her crying. Before I've spoken. And so I knocked, and she sort of told, go away, you know. I was just trying to talk. I want to say something. She said, go away. And then I just told her, when I was running, I just sensed God tell me to tell you he loves you. And when I told her that, she broke down, weeping uncontrollably. And so I jogged on. Did my job. Let's move on. But I was thinking afterwards. I was thinking, I knew there was a God moment. And I was like, yo, God, that, what an honor. I don't know what she was going through. Maybe going through a divorce. But I could, in that moment, I could step in and make it a God moment. Maybe save someone's life. That's the power of prophecy. That's the power of hearing the voice of God and then releasing it into someone's life. It's for everyone. It's not for special Christians. Let's say that it's for me. Let's say this. God wants me to hear his voice. Amen. So prophecy, 2 Peter 1:19-20. This is a beautiful, beautiful verse that speaks of the power of prophecy. It says, "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place." Isn't that beautiful? The prophetic word, when we embrace it, when we heed it, when we take a hold of it, it is a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Wow. The morning star rising in your heart. The morning star is Jesus Christ. That Christ rises on the inside of you. When you embrace the prophetic word, it's a light that shines in a dark place. It's like that torch, the flashlight. It brings light into a dark place. And then it says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of scriptures of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man. It's not from man. It comes from God. It says, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Speaking of the Old Testament prophecies. So what is a prophetic word? It's that light that shines in a dark place. So for yourself, it brings light. It connects with what Sonica said. Arise, shine, for your light has come. If you embrace the prophetic word of God for your life, you will arise and shine. If you embrace it. The day dawns, the morning star rises in our hearts. So what does it mean? It encourages. It builds us up. It strengthens. It releases hope. It releases vision. It helps you to see. It gives you faith. It gives you faith. Without it, it's hard. Well, what should I trust God for? Yeah, you can go to some scriptures. There's good scriptures. Awesome. Most powerful prophecies are simply when God highlights a specific scripture. And he says, this is my word for you now. And so we need to break free from our being bound to the earthly realm. How? Prophetic word. To see the light that shines. And then it says the prophetic word is confirmed. It says, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed. So the Lord will confirm his prophetic word. There will be signs and wonders that follows the word. And that's what Sonica has been speaking of. So many words that we are seeing, it's happening. It's being fulfilled. I mean, I want to read this to you. End of 2012, prophetic word. We had a life group leaders meeting, and we were praying and worshiping. And at the end, but I'm going to just read what I wrote down. End of 2012. I just sensed the word healing. I heard the word healing. I sense that God is making his healing power available to us. I believe God has called us to walk in this boldly. I sense God is saying, trust me for healing. Let me show my goodness. Let me show my glory. I want to. I sense God saying, be a door. Be a door for the living God to reveal himself. I sense God is saying that we have the power to open the door for his glory. And then I sense God saying, pray for the sick and see my glory manifest. And then I sense God saying, we're receiving an anointing for healing. That was November 2012. At that point, that year, we had 3 or 4 people that we saw healed. Previous 10 years, I saw maybe 2 people in 10 years. And then from February 2013 to the end of last year, more than 100 people he physically healed. Come on. But the prophetic word, it told me, trust me for healing. So I remember last year when we were planning to go to India, so I emailed these pastors and I told them, we want to pray for the sick. As if we freaking know what we're doing. But we want to pray for the sick. We want to pray for the sick. And before I could help myself, the pastors were promoting banners, pamphlets, healing and deliverance services. Come. And God pitched powerfully. But the prophetic word had to come. I had to embrace it. And I said, okay, God, am I crazy? Am I just making this up? Do you just want to believe you want to heal? No, the prophetic word brought light to my heart. It increased my faith. We stepped out and God healed. But the word goes on. I feel that God is saying that there will come a time. I saw like a row of people responding on an altar call, and I saw all of them being healed. And I sense God saying, this is my heart for you, my will, my glory revealed tangibly, undeniably. I sense God is calling us to that all and everyone. Everyone is healed. Everyone healed. I hear the word everyone. I heard that over. Everyone. Everyone. And so I want to release that over us, that grace, that anointing. Let's say it, everyone. Everyone. Everyone healed. Everyone set free. Everyone touched by the living presence of God and changed. The day dawns. God says, I want to. Are you going to step out? And then it says also that the word of prophecy is not of any private interpretation. So interpretation is key. Don't misinterpret a word. So first you need to discern, is the word of God? Could be pizza from last night. Looking at a few people. Pizza from last night. So you first need to determine, man, is this God? And over time you learn. You learn, you sense the presence of God, and you hear, yeah, I know this. I know this. This is the voice of God. And so then you need to determine, what is it? What is the word saying? Interpretation. So you need to ask the Lord, God, what are you saying? And also when you receive a word, you need to ask yourself, what does this word do to me? Is it encouraging me or is it condemning me? If it's condemnation, if it's guilt, if it's judgment, it's probably not of God. Unless you know you're in horrific sin, you are committing adultery, and the person saying, you're committing adultery, repent. Well, then probably it's of the Lord, okay? Then you should repent. But a word should be encouraging, and that's what we're aiming for. A word that brings light and life, not judge and condemn. The amazing news is, the good news, the gifts of the Spirit, you can receive it by impartation. You don't have to work for 20 years for it. You can just have someone pray for you, and the gift and grace that's on their lives can just jump onto you. It really is. It's obviously God's will. It's not like anyone can give it to you. It's God decides now, yes, I'm going to give it to you. But you can literally receive it by faith. It's not about working for it. Okay, but three things that you need to do. You need to desire it passionately. Passionately. The more I receive prophecies and the more I give the word of prophecy and I see the effect on people's lives, the more I say, God, give me greater clarity, more grace, that it transforms lives. So desire it passionately. Second, value the Holy Spirit. Value your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is God. He's God. Value the presence of God. Value the Holy Spirit. And thirdly, believe it is for you by faith. It's all by faith. You must just know it is the will of God for you. Embrace it with everything within you. So you must have confidence. As someone said, God is always speaking. You must just tune in. God is always speaking. It's like we did this evening. God, I'm available. I'm stepping out. Woo! And he's faithful. He is. And so cultivating a supernatural lifestyle is when you and I can walk into our workplace, go to the KFC, go to the supermarket, and we're just ready. God, I'm ready. Woo! I highlight that person. Excuse me. I know this sounds weird, but... I just had the sense. I sometimes get words for people. I just want to, I just sense God is saying the following. You could rock someone's world forever. And if you're wrong, sorry, I'm not going to tell you which church I'm from. If you're on, I'm from Shofar. If you miss it, don't say a word, okay? You're just that weird, weird person that people should avoid. But so we need to declare over our lives, we just say this confidence is, I am holy. I hear the voice of God. God wants and will speak to me and through me. God, I'm ready. I'm ready. And so the power of revelation, this connects with a prophetic word. I receive most of my revelations for messages from times of prayer and prophetic words that are released. And so a few points that I got from a book by Guillermo Maldonado. Spanish-American guy. He rocks. He says, a doctrine doesn't move our spirit. Revelation does. A doctrine doesn't move our spirit. Revelation does. So someone can tell you, the Bible says Jesus heals. Doesn't move you. But when you get a revelation, when you know that you know he is the great physician, he is the healer, then you're going to see things change. What is not yet revealed remains in the realm of the impossible. Revelation removes the impossible. Revelation removes the impossible. When you see it, it becomes possible. Before, you didn't think God's going to ever heal through you, but now you receive the word that says, God says, trust me for healing, and suddenly faith is released in your heart. You step out and you see it, and it moves the impossible into the possible. That's what the prophetic does. A rhema word, a prophetic word, a now word from God can make your impossibility a possibility. So you're standing in front of a mountain. This is impossible until the word of God says, I'm going to move it for you. Faith is released in your heart. You speak to the mountain and you see the kingdom come. You see heaven come to earth. So what is revelation? A revelation is a fragment of the knowledge of God that comes into our spirit in an instant. So it's into your spirit in an instant without the need for prior research or investigation according to God's will and timing. A fragment of the knowledge of God. You get a glimpse. It's like getting a glimpse. Oh, I saw him. It's like God was like one of those adverts. The car's actually quite ugly, but it just goes past on the advert. Got a glimpse. Got a glimpse. And that's in a sense like God is moving, and then suddenly you get a revelation. You see him, and it rocks you. It really does. Revelation elevates, stimulates, activates, and accelerates our spirit. Let me say that again. Revelation elevates, stimulates, activates, and accelerates our spirit. You see, you are primarily a spirit being. In your essence, your core, you are a spirit being. But for many of us, we do not operate in the supernatural because our spirit is asleep. Our spirit's unfit. Our spirit isn't activated, isn't stimulated, isn't on fire. But when it does get on fire, we'll see the supernatural. But revelation does that. So it's not just reading the scriptures when you read that verse, but it jumps out at you. It screams at you. Sometimes it just whispers at you, but you know, this is God. I often battling with my messages, and then at some point I'll go to the kitchen or somewhere, I'll tell Sonica, I got it. It's in my spirit, not yet in my head necessarily, but I got it. The Lord gave me something. I know it's going to work. I know it's going to make sense. The morning star rises in our hearts. Revelation elevates, stimulates, activates, and accelerates our spirit. And so the Lord wants to give you and me a heavenly blueprint. A heavenly blueprint. So I want to read a verse there from Ezekiel. Before that, I just want to also share this. It's just something the Holy Spirit showed me this last while. If you read the book of Acts chapter 2, and Old Testament verse is from Joel, it's quoted, which is, in the last days I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And what? My sons and my daughters, they will prophesy, they will have visions, they will have dreams. Basically, I'm summarizing, I'm paraphrasing. But bottom line is, I'll pour out my spirit. The result is, you will see visions. The result is, you will prophesy. The result is, you will have dreams. Because God knows, He needs to captivate our imaginations. I'll share this in the series we're going to do next term, later this term, Unlocking Our Destiny. God wants to captivate your imagination. How? Dreams, visions, prophecy. And then He comes and births this inside of us, and then things start to happen. Ezekiel 1 verse 4. Ezekiel had incredible encounters with God. He's a prophet, was a prophet. And he had an incredible vision of God. And so you and I, we need heavenly visions. But what happened with Ezekiel, it says that then I looked, Ezekiel 1 verse 4, then I looked and behold, a whirlwind was coming out of the north. He saw a whirlwind. I read this week and I'm thinking, wow, I've been getting words about whirlwinds and hurricanes and stuff the last few years, or last year and a half. I think that's random. I'm just getting pictures about it with a whirlwind and this tornado coming of the presence of God. And now I'm reading it, thinking, wow. He says, then I looked and behold, a whirlwind was coming out of the north, a great cloud with raging fire engulfing itself. How's that? Raging fire engulfing itself. And he says, and brightness was all around it and radiating out of its midst like the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. This was the very glory cloud of God. It was the presence of God. And out of that presence of God came heavenly creatures called the living creatures. And then a man stepped out and he came to Ezekiel with a scroll. And he said, Ezekiel, eat it. Eat the scroll. Eat the scroll. But this glory of God was like fearsome. And you need to see this. You need to see the greatness of God. You see, we are so intimidated with the earthly, with people, with life, because we're not aware of His greatness. And so Ezekiel got this vision of the glory of God. And then God wants to give the same to us. This raging fire. I'll share about this later as well in the weekend. But I just got this sense. This raging fire. God wants to clothe us in this raging fire. His presence. His glory. He wants to clothe you. That same raging fire is terrifying to the enemy. It's terrifying to evil. It's terrifying. But it's empowering to us. The same holy fire that brings terror to evil cleanses us, sets us free, and empowers us to cause the kingdom of God to come. You need to get a revelation. You need to see it. We need to see Him. We need to see Him. This is a classic. It's so powerful. One spirit-filled believer brings terror to the kingdom of darkness. One spirit-filled believer brings terror to the kingdom of darkness. One spirit-filled believer. Missions teams, wherever you're going, one spirit-filled believer brings terror to the kingdom of darkness. Let's say that I bring terror to the kingdom of darkness. Let's say it as if you believe it. I bring terror to the kingdom of darkness. I'm laughing now because I'm thinking of Darkwing Duck. The terror that flaps in the night. So it was biblical after all. I knew it. I like that story so much. But it's true. It's true. God wants us to know that wherever we go, we carry His presence with us. The same presence that comforts us, that encourages us, that empowers us, freaks the devil out. You need to know it. You need to know it. And so last year I got this word, fascinating picture. We're getting deep tonight. Hallelujah. But I saw this picture of an eagle flying high and then diving. And as the eagle dove, it created like a hurricane, tornado. I believe the eagle represents the prophetic. And I saw the picture of this tornado going around a whole region and just, in a sense, sucking up evil, just like a vacuum cleaner, just changing the environment. But I believe the power of a prophetic word, it can actually change the atmosphere over a region. So when you go, guys, when the mission teams, when you go now, you can declare words of prophecy over cities and nations. You can shift the atmosphere. We can. When it's a God word, when heaven backs the word of God, we can shift the atmosphere, the tornado of God's presence. And so the power of prophetic declarations. Some years ago, I had a very freaky experience. I said we're going deep. I was in Stellenbosch, and I was a youth pastor then. And at the time, we were asking the Lord as a church for a venue. We were praying, saying, God, we really need a venue. We need a venue. We need a venue. And it's like our own place. And I remember in that time, I would go and walk in the streets of Stellenbosch at night. Just walking, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night. And just praying. I would do that every now and again. And the one evening around 9 o'clock, I felt the Holy Spirit whisper in my heart, go walk. I felt the Holy Spirit saying, take your torch and take your Bible. I thought, got my sword, good idea. And I went walking. And I felt God leading me to a specific street where it's almost like a back side of it is like an alley. And I knew there was a place there at the back of this place. It was a private club. The whole front of the house is like completely closed up. There's no door, there are no windows. They're all like completely closed up. And as I walked around, then it's just a door on the side that says private club, small letters just above it. And we heard that there are men of the city going to that place. And we believed there was very ungodly things that were happening there. So I'm thinking, thank you, Jesus. Okay, it's dark. I'm walking into an alley. Feels like an alley. So I have all these street lamps. And it's dark. I'm walking down. I'm standing in front of this house. And I felt the Lord is saying, take out your Bible and declare my word. So the Lord took me to Psalm 68. I think it was Psalm 68, verse 1. And it says, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. So now I'm standing under the street lamp. I take out my Bible and I declare, let God arise. When I said arise, all the lights went off. Man, that was a skrik. And then I turned and there was a guy standing next to me. I'm like, woo! Space for the angels. Space for the angels. Okay. So the guy looks at me and he says to me, what is that? Pointing to my hand. I said, well, it's my Bible. And so he said, so you're a street preacher? I said, well, I guess so. Then he said, read it again. And I read, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Then he stopped me. He said, yes, Jesus is coming back, but 666 is coming. Beware. He turned around, he walked away. As he walked away, he went like this. And the light started to go on as he walked away. I'm thinking, run, baby, run. This is freaky. And I was standing there. I just felt the Holy Spirit whispering to my heart, don't be afraid, I'm with you. And then the Lord took me from scripture to scripture. I was standing there and I was declaring the word of God. Incredible prophecies. God just gave me references. Isaiah this, Ezekiel that, Psalm this. And I just declared the word of God over this place, what God's going to do, what God's going to do, what God's going to do. Prophetic declaration. It was amazing. Over the next year or two, we found there was a connection with that place and the property that our church then got, the 25 million rand property in Stellenbosch. was supernaturally released from, we believe, from these guys to that we could have it. Interesting. Power of a prophetic declaration. Power of a prophetic declaration. So as someone to encourage you, and it was just a light show. The devil plays with light. He tries to make himself seem powerful. God just said, do not be afraid. They have nothing in you. They can't do anything to you. We'll share more about that later. On Sunday, I'll share something about that. Ezekiel 2, verse 8. But you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. You see those guys that were speaking that word over? They were the rebellious house. So God is saying to Ezekiel, son of man, don't be like them. Don't be rebellious. Let the kingdom of God reign within you. Don't be like them. Without kingdom, without order, let the kingdom reign within you. Complete submission and obedience to the kingdom of God. How? Open your mouth and eat what I give you. I think that's so beautiful. Such a beautiful picture. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. Now when I looked, there was a hand stretched out to me, and behold, a scroll of a book was in it. Then he spread it before me, and there was writing on the inside and on the outside, and written on it were lamentations and mourning and woe. Now that's for them. But I believe God, the scroll represents the prophetic word. And God has called each of us to consume the word. I believe each and every one of us, there's a scroll with our name written on it. It's God's blueprint. It's God's plan for our lives. It is written in heaven. And through the prophetic word, the scroll is released. The plan of God is released. The blueprint is released. And then you must take it and you must eat it. You must consume it and allow it to become part of your being, that you become completely like it. You start thinking like the word says. If the word of God says, you're a revivalist. If the prophetic word says it, start believing in. Start declaring it of your life. If the word of God says this about you, start embracing it. If the word of God says you're going to write and it's going to influence thousands of people, embrace it. Start saying, I'm a writer. I'm a writer. Never written anything in my life. Doesn't matter. When God says it, it will be. It will be. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. Embrace it. And so the end of 2013, December 2013, we were praying with other pastors. And I saw a picture of a man coming to each of us with a scroll in his hand. And he gave to each of us a scroll. It's God's word. It's God's plan for the way forward. And I sense God saying, I go before you and prepare the way. Receive my word. The scroll is your key to unlock all you need. The scroll is the key to unlock all you need. Whatever challenge you're facing, if you just get the word of the Lord for your situation, it will unlock your situation. There are no hopeless situations, just hopeless people, but the word of God brings hope. It brings hope for every situation. So there's a heavenly scroll, and prophecy activates, releases the kingdom to come forth. So just three things to end off. Three things that we need to trust the Lord for. We need to get God encounters. Like Ezekiel, Isaiah, so many other men of God who encountered God. They saw him, it rocked their worlds, and it prepared their hearts. God encounters prepares our hearts for the blueprint of heaven. God encounters prepares our hearts for that blueprint. When you see him, then you become ready to receive his word. So then there's a kingdom blueprint. Prophecy reveals heaven's blueprint for the kingdom of God to come. It reveals what the kingdom should look like, what shape and form it should be. The blueprint is like a construction image. It's like it reveals what the building should look like. And then God comes and he plants that inside of you. And then your inside, your heart, becomes an incubation chamber. It becomes a place where that word must now, where the Holy Spirit must brood on that word. It's like you carry it with you. God, you've said. You have said. It could take 10 years. It could take 15 years. God, you have said. And so you must hold that word before God. Allow it to build up on the inside, to grow on the inside. Acts 1, 4 to 5. Jesus comes. He appears. It's not in your notes, the whole verse, but Jesus appears to his disciples just before Pentecost, just before he ascends to heaven. He appears to them, and then Jesus prophesies over them. He speaks a word over them. He says to them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. He says, you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now, and you shall receive power, and you shall be witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And so the kingdom blueprint is revealed, and it reveals four things. In your notes, it says there. It reveals the place. Guys, don't leave Jerusalem. Go to Jerusalem. Then it says what to do. Wait. Then it gives the promise. You'll receive, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And it gives you the time. Not many days from now. Not many days from now. Place, what to do, the promise, and the time. The blueprint. What if we could be so in tune with God that we will start getting blueprints for our workplace, for our families, for our destinies, for our callings? Knowing the time, knowing where, knowing what God's going to do, and seeing that released, the kingdom blueprint. And so the disciples, they incubated that, was birthed within them through these words of prophecy, and then it was released. So just want to read Ezekiel 3, verse 1. Moreover, he said to me, son of man, eat what you find, eat the scroll, and then go. Consume the word of God, embrace the prophetic word, and then go and speak, go and do. Verse 3. And he said to me, son of man, feed your belly and fill your stomach with the scroll that I give you. So I ate, and it was in my mouth like honey in sweetness. So we need to assimilate that word of God. And so for the disciples in Acts chapter 2, the word became, it was fulfilled. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, according to the word of God, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Say, suddenly. 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 Let's say it again. Suddenly. That's how God operates. It gives you the word, and then suddenly it comes to pass. Out of the blue, it happens. The fulfillment of the word, that rushing mighty wind that filled the place, a whirlwind of the Spirit. A whirlwind of the Spirit. And so my prayer is that we would receive, we're going to do a few activation activities now. Are you ready? To trust God to activate the prophetic in our lives, that the scroll would be revealed to us for our own lives, but also the scroll for others, that we'll see a picture of that for others.